There's a growing sense of the Holy Spirit building in this place. Do you guys feel that as well? Yeah, one of you feels that. It's quite cool because we never know what's going to happen, right? And we're all burned out on religion. So we're really excited about where we're going. And we're so happy that the Holy Spirit is leading us. So this morning I was going to preach, but because I felt really lazy after my holiday, I just phoned someone up and asked them if they could fill in. It's not true. Mercy is going to be preaching this morning for the first time at Mercy. And one of the things we like to do is to make way for the Holy Spirit. And so Monique phoned me before I went on leave. And I think she said, you can maybe change the, if I get anything wrong. She said she couldn't sleep. And the Lord had given her such a strong word. And so she was up all night writing this down. And Monique, how long have you been at Mercy? Quite a number of years, eh? Seven, 8 years before COVID, 6 years. So Monique has never phoned me and said, I need to preach. So this week, don't all like phone me and say, I just couldn't sleep all night, I need to preach. I think God is on this because she couldn't sleep. But also the week or two before that, when the team from America was here, Robert prophesied over her about being a fruit box, hey? And having such wisdom and a wide variety of gifts. And so these are the special moments in our church where we stop and we listen. And so I want you to open up your hearts to Monique this morning. And most importantly, open up your hearts and receive what she has. And then we're going to go into ministry time as well. And so as we are growing as a church in terms of understanding of the work of God and the Holy Spirit, we're also trusting Him to bring more prophetic words. So even as Monique speaks, maybe you can just pray in your heart, have a look around you, and see if there's anyone that is on your mind or that you feel you want to pray for. Wow. That's quite profound, eh? It's resting on me, Theron. Monique, you better come up quickly before the dove. Give her a hand, guys. Thank Taz, why don't you come pray for this lady?
Lord, we thank you for Monique. Thank you for her humbleness, for her humility, Lord. And all your giftings, Lord. And we just pray for this moment now, Lord, that you bring her such peace in her inner being, Lord, that whatever you've prepared in advance for her to say in this moment, Lord, that you will help us to open up our hearts and be open to you and your work, Holy Spirit. And I pray that as Monique delivers what she's got for you, that we know already that she's going to honor you because that's her heart's desire, Lord. And we just pray that you bless her and that you bless us.
Sheesh, my mouth is dry all of a sudden. We've been talking about diversity, right? So I think it is from vandaag's dienst, come on, Afrikaans, yes. Just kidding. There should be some, what do you call the notes at the bottom? Thank you. Subtitles are needed today. In English, that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But I specifically chose this scripture in Afrikaans because loof in Afrikaans translates to being lauded or highest praise even. And I thought that's a more appropriate tone for today's message. So has anyone here ever tried making caramel? I mean, it's 3 ingredients, right? That's simple, right? You just have to put the right amount of sugar into the right size pan that has the right weight to it, on the right size fire, at the bottom for the right amount of time, and then when you think that it's maybe right, you still don't touch it, you still don't touch it, until it bubbles and it smells, and then you throw in the butter, and then you throw in the cream, and you whisk like crazy, and you kind of go, shoo, sorry, the voice thing is a something new. You whisk it like crazy, and you go, I hope it's going to work, because sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't, because we've all watched. But I think that was a little bit how this worked in my life, on how this message has happened for me right now. I think God was making caramel in my life, except that he knew that he is going to know when it's the right time for everything to come together. I remember very specifically 10, 20 years ago, even driving from or to, I don't know the direction, the space I know specifically on that drive to Camps Bay, that one of these messages just landed so profoundly. And then several other times in my life, things happened, like with all of us, right? You listen to a preacher, you listen to a conversation with your mom, you have a different chat with somebody else, and without realizing, these little ingredients of caramel get added to your life over time. And then when God knows it's just the right time, he just goes, whoosh, and there it goes. So how this happened, I think Mark gave a great intro about the not sleeping and the, I think, I suppose in a way I was scared that I was going to forget what everything was just running through my mind. So in a way of just ordering my thoughts, I wanted to write it down. But but at the same time, you know how Moses begged God not to be the one to do the talking? I can resonate with that. I could completely resonate with that. So I have no qualification. I didn't study, aside from us layman way of studying the Word of God. I haven't gone to seminary school. I've had to chat GPT to make sure that I've got the context of some items right, even, right? But what I am today is I'm a daughter of the King. And though my voice may be shaky, I want each person to not just listen to the words, but to test it for yourself. Not skeptically, but in a way that allows for God's Spirit to lead you. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So don't be distracted by the humanness of this package, and rather lean into God, maybe whispering through it. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and reassurance, and it also gives us a hint that there's a reality that our senses, things not seen, can interpret in the way that our present reality, cannot interpret it in the same way as our present reality. Like how we used our senses to get the caramel just right. If it is true then, that our senses are basically useless in a spiritual realm, then it makes sense why we should trust the Lord with all our heart and do not lean on our own understanding. So understanding elements of the spiritual realm requires a spirit-led mindset, not one governed by worldly reasoning, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And other examples in Corinthians. Prophetic actions are the physical obedience that puts faith into motion, bridging the unseen with the seen. We've all mostly been exposed to the concept of a prophetic action, or even seen it played out through prophetic words here at church. We all just clapped our hands and we raised our hands, and I know for sure I do sway a lot. We may not even realize that these are prophetic actions that we are doing. We've encouraged people, we've prayed for people, all because we felt that there's a prompting, that there's something that is compelling us to do that. So I'm wondering if understanding a bit of a biblical framework to help make way for God's Spirit is something that will be helpful. So there are certain patterns that we see from the Bible. I will go through a few examples. There's divine instruction. There are six of them, divine instruction. I'll just quickly read through. They're all up on the Mac as well. Prophetic acts are initiated by God, not by human will or intellect.
Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord said to me, go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist, but do not let it touch the water. He then gave him specific instructions to hide the belt and to receive it, using it as a symbol of Judah's ruined pride. A symbolic action is that they are physical acts that carry symbolic meaning, often illustrating spiritual truth or a future event. At that time, the Lord spoke to Isaiah, son of Amos. He said to him, take off the sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet. And he did so, going around stripped and barefoot. Oh my gosh, imagine, hey? Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has gone stripped and barefoot for 3 days, 3 years, 3 years, so the king of Assyria will lead away striped, stripped, and barefoot. He stayed up undressed with a powerful symbol of the coming captivity. Releasing power, it releases power. By performing the act in obedience, making a decision with our free will, it releases God's power and his presence into a situation. The example is, obviously, we're very well versed in this one, the marching and shouting around Jericho, with a specific symbolic instruction to the letter. And then there are unprecedented results. When it's done within, in alignment with God's heart and mind, a prophetic act leads to divine success and supernatural results that are often unique and cannot be repeated. Elisha instructs the widow to collect empty jars, and she pours into a small jar of oil. The miraculous multiplication of the oil happened as she obeyed the prophetic instruction to pour. The result was a unique and supernatural event that saved her family. And then a spiritual decree. A prophetic act serves as a visual design, visual sign, and a decree that operates in the spiritual realm, forging a connection between the spiritual realm and the natural world. At the showdown of Mount Carmel, Elijah doesn't just pray. He performs a prophetic act of rebuilding the altar, drenching it in water, and then calling to God his prayer. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God. That was a spiritual decree that was answered by fire from heaven. There are acts of faith taken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, requiring trust and obedience to God's direction. Jesus spits on the ground, he makes mud, he puts it on the man's eyes and tells him to go bath in the pool of Siloam. The man's healing was contingent on his obedience to this strange instruction. He went and he washed and he came home seeing. This required both from Jesus in obedience to the Father and the blind man in obeying what Jesus said the prophetic act should be. So then while we are looking at the actions, first to keep in mind, there are five. You can see four on this one. There's verbal, there's positional, written, and physical. Verbal is something, well, we're familiar with all of these. When Abram became Abraham, positional was when Ezra stood in the gap and prayed as a corporate confession of the sins of the people. Then written, the prophetic writing and recording, God commanded him to write down the revelation so that the future fulfillment can be witnessed. When I read this, it reminds me of a magic show that might be a little bit too Afrikaans, where the guy said, Akkel jou hier, akkel jou daar, en sie daar. Imagine God saying to him, you go write it down. So that when that happens, and they look back, they will know that I was in this. Then the physical, the prophetic laying on of hands and anointing of new kings. And then the part that is very exciting for me and dots that I only recently started to connect in such a specific way is that praise and worship is a part of a prophetic act. Prophetic proclamation through praise. Praise and worship are prophetic acts that declare God's character, his power and victory, thereby shifting the spiritual atmosphere and having a posture that invites his intervention. God's character is an interesting thing. We learn from the Bible that he is loving, he's just, he's holy, he is wise, He's growing, slow to anger, faithful. So declaring God's character seems to go hand in hand with the original verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If God is faithful, then that faith and acknowledgement of his character leads to the prophetic proclamation through praise. You're declaring his character. You are aligning yourself with what you know is true about God. But this act is not based on feelings or circumstances. It is a faithful declaration of spiritual truth. And it often precedes and even precipitates a breakthrough in the natural. So that is, whatever God sees fit, that's a strong word, hey? Whatever God sees in his will to release, his favor, his wisdom, his protection, his healing, his provision, or his power. Exactly what is needed to fulfill his purpose in that moment, bigger picture. Remember, it is not a manipulation of your self-fueled need or motivation, but it's a heart surrender to God's will for the outcome. We don't know what the outcome will be. All we have to do is be obedient. 2 Chronicles 20, there are a few examples. I'd like to run through 2 Chronicles 20. The scenario was that the king received word from the Lord. He said, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In verse 15, he was then instructed. So in obedience, he appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for his splendor and his holiness. And he went ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The praise was not a response to that victory. It was what released the victory. The result was unprecedented. The armies turned on and destroyed each other without Judah even having to fight. Just imagine if you are one of the people in an army and it says, don't worry, I've got you. God says, don't worry, I've got you. And you try and imagine what this is possibly going to look like. You've just got to praise, but you have some ideas on what you think this is going to be like. This may look like the enemy running away in fear, but definitely not the enemy actually killing each other just because you were praising God. They were not connected to the idea of the outcome, just that God said, trust me. In Acts 16, they were in prison, but then at about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. This was an act of faith and obedience, releasing God's power in the midst of darkness. And then suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all at once, all of the prison doors flew open, and all of the chains came loose. There was no, the angel of the Lord says, you've got to praise God, and then this is going to happen. They didn't know that. All they wanted to be was proclaim, this is the God that I serve. And then this happened. In Psalm 8, verse 2, which later then is quoted by Jesus as well, this is affirmed. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. This directly frames praise as a weapon of spiritual warfare that establishes God's rule and silences the enemy. It is a decree of God's strength from a place of perceived weakness. The infants that are praising God, the infants can't make it happen. And then in Joshua, while the primary prophetic act was the marching, the final act was the shout of praise and victory before the walls fell. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. The shout was an act of faith, declaring a victory that had not yet happened. So in reading that I think helps us to discern how biblically sound something like this would be. So as we saw, that there's a decree, a praise that declares truth about God's character, that he's good, that he's victorious, that his love endures forever into a situation that might look contrary. Then there's an act of faith or obedience. It requires trusting God's character over your circumstances, which then releases power. It invites God's presence and power to move, which often causes supernatural breakthroughs. And the fourth one, it forges a connection because it pulls the reality of heaven to what is happening on earth, the two different realms. So this makes a complete picture that shows a prophetic act are not always strange physical symbols, but they are powerful spiritual disciplines of worship and praise. We have now seen that following an instruction from God that is answered by a prophetic action, either verbal, positional, written, it requires obedience, and then the decision to partner with God connects the physical and the spiritual realm, and that unlocks heaven's resources here on earth. We always have a decision that we get to make. Whatever God's plan is, there's nothing that we can or cannot do that can stop it from happening. So whether you say yes or whether you say no, it's not going to change anything about yourself. We have free will. We have free decision-making power in this equation. But when we say yes, we are partnering with God. This means that the spiritual truth in this is that when we are obedient, not self-directed and in service of our own agenda, but in obedience of an instruction or a nudge or a gentle whisper from God, then something supernatural will happen. We don't always see it because of our sense of sight cannot always interpret in our current reality what was affected in the spiritual realm. And because it is subjected to God's will, So yes, sometimes we can see an up. But then sometimes, I mean, if you think of Hannah, who prayed for Samuel, she didn't see it right at that moment. But later on, possibly when she was not even around to see it, he became the anointer of kings. Or Noah, building the ark without a cloud. How long do you reckon it took him to build the ark? How many days do you reckon that there were people who were standing there and making fun of the fact that he's trying to do this? Look, Noah, there's no cloud in the sky. What are you trying to do? He didn't know what was going to happen, but through his obedience, my point's gone. I'll move on to Abraham. I'm not doing this for the affirmation of men. Or even Abraham acting out of obedience to offer his own son when God gave him the instruction, setting in motion the confirmation of God's covenant with him in Genesis, which was later fulfilled in Jesus, in Hebrews and James. And in all of these cases, there wasn't an immediate result, but the obedience triggered a spiritual chain reaction that unfolded over time, impacting future generations and revealing God's faithfulness in ways that could only be seen in hindsight. So in some cases, these unprecedented results are not even seen by the person acting in obedience. David's prophetic proclamation through praise was a way of life for him. His humble desire to honor God above himself and then the willingness to obey when he was told no. He just wanted to honor God and praise God and build a temple for him. And God said no. And he was obedient in that. Because later then, God built the temple through him in the fulfillment of Jesus. that was part of his lineage. So even though he was Saul, Jesus would come out of his lineage. When I read this, I'm just picturing in my mind's eye, just if we think of the lineage of Jesus, everything that had to happen, all of the blind obediences by various people over time that had to make it happen. So don't miss this. There's a ripple effect of obedience. That moment of obedience, even when my voice shakes, carries the heart to wage a holy war, to activate a ministry and speak covering over a church, to intercede with authority and to speak covering, protection and health over your lineage. And this is where it becomes holy. Because obedience that leads to a prophetic act with an outcome, whether it's seen or unseen, whether it's immediate or delayed, does more than just unlock heaven's resources. It causes a shift in the atmosphere. It causes a shift within us. Our will may be hesitant, our understanding may be limited, but when we obey, something eternal is activated. And what is released by heaven in response to that obedience cannot resist the majesty of God. In the same way that when white light passes through a prism, it has no choice but to refract. It has no choice but to bow. Obedience positions us beneath a truth so absolute. But even now, as a result of obedience, so this morning we've seen how a tangible step of faith, the prophetic action that follows a prompting or instruction, becomes a catalyst for God's miraculous work. So the invitation, or maybe even it is a challenge for each of us to consider, is to make obedience towards the prophetic a habit. Not a rare dramatic event, but a holy habit. All acts of obedience in answer to receiving a gentle whisper from God will lead to displays of God's power. I just want to say that again. All acts of obedience will lead to a display of God's power. Even if it doesn't make sense, or if it seems crazy, or even ineffective because we cannot see it, not now or ever, the results are in a different reality. Because small acts of obedience applied over time becomes big acts of obedience and unprecedented displays of God's power.
I just want to say, you said that you're not doing this for affirmation of men. And I want to tell you that there's affirmation from God, because this morning on my cell phone, I made a note that we are the warrior bride waging worship.
Great.